It's nice to see everyone who's made an effort to be with us again tonight. It's a good number on what I think might be the coldest day yet this year. So thank you for making an effort to be here with us. Plan to preach the gospel again tomorrow night here at the same time. We invite you to return. And every Sunday night, there's a gospel meeting here at 7 o'clock. So we want you to keep that in mind as well. On Friday evening, there's a children's meeting in Rosebank at the Rosebank Gospel Hall at 6:30, and all are welcome to attend that as well. Before we read together from the Bible, let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. We are thankful for the reason that he came into the world, to save sinners. We're thankful that when he came into the world, he did so in obedience to God his Father, and he died on the cross to put away sin. And Father, we are thankful tonight that he did exactly what he came to do. He accomplished it. And tonight we ask thee, Father, that we may know what it is to appreciate the fact that we have the Word of God in our hands and are able to read it, the fact that the Son of God came into the world and died on the cross, but that there's a message of salvation going out to everyone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. We know that God now commands all men everywhere to repent. And tonight we pray that each of us will be honest enough to face the scriptures and repent, turn to Christ. We pray for them preaching in Amherst tonight. We pray for them preaching down there in Nineveh, in the Bridgewater area. We pray for them preaching in Heightsville, Iowa, for Brandon and Frank out there, and for John Procopio and Paul Jenkinson as they preach in English Point. Father, we pray for them. We pray for souls in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, turn it to Ephesians chapter 2, please. And if you don't have your Bible with you, I'm going to read it as clearly and as deliberately as I can so that we get exactly what God is saying. I want us to think, as we're reading the Bible, what is God trying to say to me? What's God trying to say to me? You see, I used to tell an audience like this that God is trying to tell you something. But I believe it's different. I don't think God is trying to tell you something. God is telling you something from the Bible. God is telling you something. The question is, will you listen to what God has to say? Now in Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read beginning at verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead. Now, the word quickened is an older way of saying made alive or given life. Now, we have to understand that this letter was written to people who once were lost, but now they're saved. They once were heading down, and now they're heading up. But now they're being told that they once were dead, but now they live. You see, when it comes to the gospel, every one of us gets our start as a sinner, born in sin, we are told in the Bible. Born in sin, and we're all the same. But when it comes to those who are saved, they can say, I once was in my sins, but now I'm in Christ. I once was lost, now I'm saved. I once was dead, but now I live. You see, that's how drastic of a change the gospel makes. And while he's telling this to people who used to be lost and now they're saved, they used to be dead, but now they're alive, we're going to learn how we can go from being lost to saved. how we can go from being dead to alive. It says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, again, before, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive, together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, verse number 8, please. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 8 again, please. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. These people were saved. These people were on their way to heaven. But these people tonight, while I'm preaching to you, have died. That means their soul has left their body. Their remains, perhaps the bones or the remains, have been buried in the earth. But they're in heaven. They're in heaven. And I'm going to say in terms of what we're reading here in Ephesians chapter 2, the reason they're in heaven is because while they were born sinners and lost, they had a point in their life where they trusted Christ and they were saved. But for the next 16 minutes, I want to talk about what it means to be saved, and I want you to ask yourself a question. Are you saved? Are you saved? While you're asking yourself that question, perhaps you'll have a lot of questions of your own, right? But I want you to focus just on that. Am I saved? I'm not asking you now if you're a good person. I'm not up here to judge how good of a person you are. Not my decision. I'm asking if you're saved. I'm not up here asking if you love people. That's not my question. I'm asking if you're saved. I'm also not going to ask you tonight at any point in time if you are part of a church. That's not my question. Are you saved? We are told in this very reading that it is possible to be living and breathing on this earth and to know that you're saved, so that you don't have to wait till after you die to know whether or not you will be in heaven. But while you are living on the earth, you can know for sure that you're saved. Did you know that? Did you know that so many people are waiting until after they die to figure out if they're going to be in heaven or hell? And the whole time, the Bible tells us that we can know for sure while we're here on earth. But are you saved? When I usually read this passage, I focus on three or four different words that are really insightful into what God is trying to tell us. We read about God in his mercy. We read about God in his love. We read about God in his grace. We read about the riches of his grace. We read about his goodness, and we read about his life-giving power. But for this, again, only a few minutes. Don't miss it. Saved. Saved. What does it mean to be saved? In our minds, we can think of a lot of different things, but sometimes as soon as we enter a building like this, we totally wipe our minds of all that we know and we start to think in terms of church or in terms of religion. But I want you to just think about that word, saved. What does it mean to be saved? Sometimes I ask the children that in Sunday school, and they put up their hand and they say it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, yes. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And if I ask another child, they will say, well, it means that you're going to heaven. Yes, it does mean that you're going to heaven. But at its very root, in its simplicity, the word saved means to be rescued, right? And to be rescued means to be removed from a dangerous situation, doesn't it? Now, you and I know of many different dangers in our world, don't we? There's the danger of fire. So it is possible for people to be in danger in a fire. And we all know what that might look like, right? You're living in a house, there's a fire in the kitchen, and you're sleeping upstairs. And as soon as the smoke alarm goes off or the fire detector goes off, everybody wakes up and they think, fire. And if I stay in this house, I will die in the fire. See? So we're thinking about the danger that is a house fire. And then we think, I need to get out of the danger. Now, let's suppose you're in a house fire, you're upstairs, but you can't get out. You can't get downstairs because the fire's too hot. You can't jump out because you'll get hurt. You know what you need? You don't need less fire. You need someone to come to where you are and take you out of the house. So that when the fire department comes with their ladder and they go up to where you are in the house, they take you out of that room, all the way down the ladder, to a place of safety, and you can say, thank you for rescuing me from the fire. You took me from the danger and you put me in a place of safety. Thank you for saving me. I was saved from fire. Some of us know how to swim, but not everyone knows how to swim, right? Sometimes we get in over our head. You ever hear that saying? You're in over your head. But literally, it's possible to be in water over your head and not be able to swim, and you start to drown. In that case, the danger is not the fire anymore, is it? There's no more fire, it's water. And what you need is not someone to take you out of the room upstairs. You need someone to come to the pool or come to the ocean and take you out of the water and take you to dry land, from the danger to safety. And if somebody did that, you would say, thank you for saving me. I was in danger, but now I'm saved, right? So there's the danger of fire that you could be rescued from. You could be saved from fire. There's the danger of drowning you could be rescued from. You would be saved from drowning. Now, when we're preaching the gospel, we're telling you that you need to be saved. But think about it. What's the danger? What's the danger that I'm in? See, you feel quite safe in this room. I hope you do. We try to make everyone feel as comfortable as possible in the chairs. just a little bit comfortable, but not so comfortable that you fall asleep, right? We try to make sure that you feel safe in the surroundings. But we're not telling you that you need to be saved from a physical danger tonight. I think my wand is gone, but that's okay. They took it from me so I'd stop preaching about the chart, maybe. We're not talking tonight about a physical danger. We're talking about a spiritual danger. Now, the reality is hell is real. Hell is real, and it is a literal, real fire. Hell is where people go when they die in their sins, without God, if they're not saved. That's a danger, isn't it? Now, to be judged for your sin and to be cast into the lake of fire, that's a danger, right? But what if I told you tonight that the real danger that you are currently in is that you are in danger in your sin? Your sins, the things you have done, and your sin, the thing that you are, is the real danger tonight. So that you need to be rescued. Remember, taken from the danger, put in a place of safety. Taken from the danger, put in a place of safety. Taken from your sins. And be saved in Christ. Being saved is being rescued. Being saved is being rescued from your sins. But are you saved? I'm going to ask you another question to think about. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been lost? You see, sometimes people will tell me, oh yes, I'm saved. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Well, I want you to think about it. A person is not born as a baby, a Christian. When it comes to being a Christian, it doesn't matter if you're born into a Christian home. It doesn't matter if you're born into a Christian country, right? If you want to call a country a Christian country. If you are really a Christian, or if you are really saved, it means that there is a time when you realized from the Bible, I'm not saved. I'm lost. There is a time when you realized, I am not going to heaven. I'm going to hell. There is a time when your destiny changed. You see, if you were to go to the man who got rescued from a fire, you know what he'd be able to do? He'd be able to tell you two things. I was once up there in that danger, but a man came and took me from danger and saved me. And now I'm here. If you're talking to the person who's in the pool drowning, they could tell you two things. They might be able to tell you a lot of things, but two things at least. I was once going down drowning, and a person came and rescued me, and now I'm here and I am saved. Now, same thing applies to salvation in the Bible. I don't know much, but I know this. I was once in my sins on the way down, but a man named Jesus saved me, and now I'm going up. I know I've said it many times in this hall and in any hall where people will listen. I could take you now. I'd probably drive you because it is a little cold, but I can see the house right across the road where I used to live here in O'Leary. And if they let us in, which they probably would, I could take you right into that little living room over there at 379 Main Street, and I could show you that place. And I could tell you, this is where Jesus Christ saved me from my sins. Now I ask, are you saved? Well, you say, I've never been in that house. You don't need to be in that house. You say, I've never heard the gospel that you have heard. Well, you don't need to hear as much gospel as I've heard. What Paul is telling these people is this. Once they were dead, now they are living. Once they were lost, now they are saved. And the way that they went from lost to saved is this. Jesus Christ died on the cross. God's love was shown to us in Jesus Christ dying for sin, so that the Lord Jesus on the cross paid the price for sin. He came into the world to save sinners. That's what it says right here to my left, I'm pretty sure. Christ Jesus came into the world to save or rescue sinners. And the only way he could do that is to go to the cross and pay the price for sin. Now that's already happened. It happened 2,000 years ago. And God is satisfied with what he has done. Now the message to you is this. If you want to be rescued from your sin, it's going to be by grace. Now that simply means that it's going to be a free gift. Now, I'm not sure about you, but a lot of us like free stuff, right? And Tim Hortons has that roll up the rim. You may not have seen that, but I used to love it when you get a free coffee, right? It means you don't have to pay for it. If it's free, you don't pay, right? Now, if somebody gives you a gift on your birthday and they reach out with a package and say, here, this is for you, you know that it's a free gift, right? So when they give you that free gift, you don't take out your wallet and say, how much? Right? Why? Because if you had to pay, it's not a free gift. You see, some people look at salvation, being saved, as like a pay your way type of thing, right? So you're looking at what Christ has done and you want to be saved, but you feel, well, I need to do good works. But if your good works made you saved, then it's not a free gift. And some will say, well, I need to be baptized. But if baptism made you saved, it's not a free gift. If joining a church made you saved, then it's not a free gift. And if you're going to be saved, you have to receive it from the Lord Jesus as a free gift. Because he says, by grace, you're saved. But then he says, it's through faith. Now, I think it's important for us to see from the Bible that faith is the opposite of works. Especially good for some of our young people to grasp this. Faith is not some kind of a mystical concept out there in outer space that you're just waiting to someday have it hit you in the head. That's not faith. Faith is a real thing. Faith is when you believe what God says. Faith is when you trust the Lord Jesus. Faith is when I tell you something and you believe that I'm telling you the truth. And when we are told here that being saved is a free gift, how do we know? Because God is telling us. He's telling us the truth. When we read in the Bible that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, we believe it's true, right? But how do we know? Well, because God tells us. Now, if I were to tell you tonight, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, is that true? Well, how do you know? Because the Bible says. If I were to tell you that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, is that true? You say, yes. But how do we know? Because God says in his word. You see, faith is believing what God says. Faith is not believing that God exists. There's a difference. Faith is not crossing your fingers and saying, I have faith that everything's going to be okay. That's not faith. Faith is when God tells you something and you believe it. Faith is when God says, Christ died for the ungodly, and you believe that. See, he died for me. Faith is when I can rest completely on what God tells me. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The moment I believe God, I'm saved. Now, we started with a question, didn't we? I'm going to end with the same question. If being saved means being rescued, and being saved is a free gift, and being saved is by faith, and the moment a person puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are saved, then the question for all of us should be this. Am I saved? I want you to think about that as our brother preaches the gospel.